believe Miss Leonard is singing tonight, so if you'll come at this time. And then we're going to have Brother Harrison preach, and he is no stranger around here. Been looking forward to hearing from him, and just thankful that that the Lord has healed him up to this point, and pray that the Lord continues to do so. But we'll have our special music at this time. Jeff, would you mind coming up and introducing Brother Harrison? I'm sure you got a word of testimony that you'd like to say, and maybe talk about what he means to you.
I think a lot of people could come up here and tell what Brother Harrison has meant to them. When I was 12, I came to this church. As wild as any bus kid over in junior church. Can I get a witness? Amen. I was just as wild as any bus kid in junior church, seriously. And Brother Harrison started a bus route in Moments. And he said Moments was on his way to Moments. Or my house was on his way to Moments. So he would pick me up every Saturday and take me bus calling with him. Well, now I know that it was a long way around to come and get me and then go visit Moments and then come back to my house to go back to the church. But back then it just made sense. So, you know, it's on his way. I go visiting with him. And I went visiting with him every Saturday. We listened to Chuck Swartzky on the radio and listened to the Bulls games. But more than that, I saw Brother Harrison and his heart for souls. He would talk to anyone that would listen. He would share the gospel with anyone that would listen. And I was not saved. My brother was saved. We were workers on his bus. And I remember the day he made the announcement that he was going down to Florida to be an assistant pastor down there. And I was heartbroken. But as hard as it was to see him go to Florida, the day it was announced that he was coming back to be our assistant pastor, to be my youth pastor, that you should have been here. The place erupted in applause because Brother Harrison was coming back. And then to see him go as a missionary and see him start that church and be successful missionary with many folks saved. I owe my salvation to Brother Harrison. I owe my service in the bus ministry, in the junior churches, in the Sunday school. I owe that to Brother Harrison. I owe everything I am as a Christian to Brother Harrison. So that's what Brother Harrison means to me. That's the man that will be speaking to you tonight. Someone that makes a difference in the life of a 12-year-old boy. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. That was very kind. And I appreciate Brother Jeff and Mary. What he didn't tell you is he told me to hurry up tonight because there's a Bears-Packers game. So I better get to it. Amen. But I love you, Brother Jeff. Love you with all my heart. And your brother, remember what I used to call you guys? Heckle and Jekyll. That was my name for Brother Jeff and Clint. And of course, Clint now on the mission field. He was just in my church just a few months ago. And both of them serving the Lord in God's will with great families. And it's just such a blessing. And so many others, too. It was we had a special youth group for a few years here in the 80s. Not everyone turned out, but several turned out for the Lord. If I start naming them, I'm going to forget, you know, certain ones. I don't want to do that. But anyway, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah, and we'll look at chapter 54. You could stay right there because that's our text, and that's where we will be extracting our points and principles tonight. From the Word of God. I want to thank Faith Baptist Church and all of you for the way you've treated us today. Last night we came in, spent a little time with my son Ryan and Sarah and the kids. And then thank you for the nice motel and for the meals and for the gifts that you've showered on us. And it's a blessing and I'm grateful. Thank you so much. I know how this church takes care of missionaries. And I'm so thankful for it. I love your preacher. I would say I've always been a kind of a loner, even in the ministry. I have a lot of friends. I don't have a lot of close friends in the ministry, but no doubt, my closest friend is your preacher, and he's been a lot to me over the years. And what a blessing he's been to me, an example, and. If there's one preacher, well, the Bible says in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. The first one I always call if I need some counseling is your preacher. It's always the first one. And I appreciate him so much. Have your Bibles open to Isaiah 54. And, of course, we're beginning a missions emphasis and a wonderful start this morning. I appreciate Brother Leonard. And his presentation, that was a good one. Amen. And God bless him. And I just, this morning, I talked to him a little bit. And I needed one more missionary for my conference in October. And he's able to come. So he and his family will be with us in October. And our keynote speaker is going to be Dr. Don Sisk. And so we're excited about that. And we've got four missionary families that will be with us. But I do like this idea of a missions month. I think we're going to do that next year. I love missions conferences. One of the most important times in the calendar year for any soul-winning church is missions conference or missions emphasis. Now, the question is, why a missions conference or a missions emphasis? I'm going to give you two good reasons. I know there's more than two, but I'm going to give you two good ones. Number one, to get us excited about missions. You know, we need to get pumped up. You know, we're human beings. A whole year goes by, and even though we may still be giving, hopefully giving our faith promise offerings to missions, sometimes it wanes, the enthusiasm. But then here comes missions conference, and we get pumped up again. And that's one of the reasons. And I believe that missions is next to the very heart of God. God loves the souls of men. Souls is what missions is all about. Number two, to see what the local church will do over the coming year. Many years ago, I heard a preacher say, a missions conference is the local church's business meeting to determine what it's going to do about winning souls around the world. That's basically what it is. This is your time to get together, whether it's a week or a few days or four Sundays. It's to determine, hey, what's Faith Baptist Church going to do? What more are we going to do or this church is going to do for missions? And by the way, you need to ask God to help you in these two areas. Ask Him. Pray this month. Start now if you haven't already. Lord, get me excited about missions. Lord, give me a burden for souls around the world. And also, pray about what you can do. Maybe you're already participating in Faith Promise Missions Giving. That's great. But what more can you do? What more can you do? And you need to take your Faith Promise Missions card. I don't know when those will be passed out, but you know about them. And pray over what God would have you to do. And it is between you and the Lord. You know, He will touch your heart. He's going to let you know what you need to do for missions. By the way, this is why Satan hates a missions conference. He will do whatever he can to hinder a missions conference. I mentioned that this morning. He will distract people. He will do whatever he can to disrupt the conference. He will do what he can to keep people from attending. I've seen just about everything in my 36 years of full-time ministry. I've seen people get sick. People end up in the emergency room. People have accidents. People quit the church. 3 years ago, one of my deacons quit the church, resigned and quit the church in the middle of our missions conference because he was not for Faith Promise Giving. I'll touch on that a little bit later. But anything can happen. You know, the devil will hinder as much as he can. Last year, I missed the last night of our missions conference, and I ended up in the hospital. So anything can happen. Now tonight, I want to challenge a great, and I believe this is a great missions church, to do even more for worldwide evangelization. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you tonight. Father, thank you for the good presentation. Thank you for Brother Leonard and his family. Lord, help them to finish their deputation. Help them, Lord, to get to Fiji and to win precious souls to Jesus. And Lord, we pray once again for Brother Angel's family. Give healing. Lord, I pray that you would intervene. And then, Lord, help this mission's emphasis. Lord, I pray that this message will be an encouragement and a challenge to this church. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 54. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Oh, sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Verse 2. Now this is the key verse. This is the text. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now I believe that this passage of Scripture will help all of us in the area of missions. It has been said, and I believe this, that with all Scripture, there is one literal interpretation or historical context, but there can be several spiritual applications. Do you follow me? Amen? Now, let's look at the historical context and the literal interpretation of not just these three verses, but I believe the entire chapter, Isaiah 54. Now, of course, the book of Isaiah was written by the prophet Isaiah. And because he was a prophet, God gave him visions of the future. You couldn't be a prophet of God without having visions of the future and what was going to happen. And so God gave Isaiah visions. One of those visions we find here in chapter 54. I believe it is a vision of the future glory of Israel. Some believe it's a vision of Israel just after the Babylonian and Persian captivities. This is when Israel was allowed to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. Others believe it is a vision of the millennial kingdom, the reign of the Messiah, when Israel will be restored all of their land again. And I believe it's a mixture of both. Now, what we do know is that Israel was told by God to enlarge the place of their tent, to lengthen their cords, strengthen their stakes. This refers to the expansion of the Jewish nation. That is the literal interpretation or context of the passage. Now, I'd like to apply this passage to us, to Faith Baptist Church. Now remember, there's always a literal interpretation or historical context, but there are usually many applications. And I want to apply this text, verse 2, chapter 54, to Faith Baptist Church. Once again, look at verse 2. It says this, and if you underline in your Bible or circle things, go ahead and underline or circle this phrase, enlarge the place of thy tent. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Many people in Bible times lived in tents. When a family would grow and get so large, they would have to expand or enlarge their tent by adding to it. Now, to enlarge or to expand, they would have to grow. And by the way, this should be the goal of every local church. That is to expand. Amen? To grow, to extend themselves, so to speak. And, you know, I believe a healthy church is a growing church. But also, oftentimes, analyze, what is a great church? What's a great church? Is it a lot of people getting saved? Is it a lot of people getting baptized? Is it a lot of visitors coming through the doors? Is it a lot of people in the pews? Is it a lot of money being put in the offering plates? Now, all that's good, amen? And we want all that to happen. But it isn't necessarily what a great church is. One thing I know for sure, because it is next to the very heart of God, and that is a great church is a missions-minded church. Not only reaching souls in its local area, but reaching souls beyond its local area. You know, before the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, He gave the church what we call the Great Commission. Now, you don't find that phrase in the Bible, the Great Commission, but the principle's there, amen? And that's a phrase that we've come up with. It's a commission. It's a commandment, amen? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It's okay to call it the Great Commission. And He gave us that command. In Acts 1:8, it talks about how we'll be witnesses. It talks about in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Now, Faith Baptist Church needs to reach its Jerusalem. I thank God for a church that is reaching their Jerusalem. You know, some churches, you know, they're not even reaching their Jerusalem or trying to reach their Jerusalem. Thank God for a church that runs buses. Amen. I gave the testimony this morning. I was saved as a product of the bus ministry as a 10-year-old boy. I love the bus ministry. Keep running those buses. Amen. And reach your Jerusalem. And win souls here in the area. Bourbonnais and Bradley and Kankakee and all of Kankakee County. Let's reach our Jerusalem. Amen? Then there's Judea. I guess Judea would be the surrounding areas. The surrounding areas that surround this county. We need to reach into those. And I know you got bus routes going to some of those areas. You know, Hersher and Wadsika and places like that. And then there's Samaria. I believe that represents the rest of the state of Illinois. I'll tell you what, if there's a state in the Union that needs to be reached for Christ, it's the state of Illinois. By the way, you need to pray for this upcoming election. Listen, and by the way, you need to vote. Shame on you if you don't vote. I said shame on you if you don't vote. I didn't expect anything political tonight, but listen, I love the state of Illinois. I've lost two families just in the last few months to move down south. They don't want to stay in the state anymore. And, you know, humanly speaking, I can't blame them. But you know what? I love this state. This is where I've been for years and years. And I grew up in the Chicago area. And we need to reach it. Samaria. The rest of America. Amen. By the way, I believe in foreign missions. I also believe in home missions. In fact, I had the privilege of being a part of both those worlds. God called me as a missionary to Argentina. I was able to go to a foreign country and plant a church and start a Bible Institute. And I also started churches here in the United States. So, hey, I think both are important. We need more churches planted in our own nation. If our nation goes under, we're in trouble. There's no nation on earth that gives to missions like the United States of America. Listen, and I'll tell you what, it excites me when I hear missionaries get up and talk about how, you know, in our country we're sending missionaries to other countries and so forth. But I'm going to be honest with you, it's usually with our money. I'll be honest with you. And listen, it is of dire importance that we reach our nation. And we need to reach not only that, but the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. That's the rest of the world. I believe that God expects us to do everything we can to fulfill that great commission. A great church, a biblical church, is a church doing what it can to fulfill the great commission. And it's not just what we're doing in our Jerusalem, but what are we doing around the world? Are we doing what we can to reach our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the earth? By the way, all at the same time. All at the same time. We do what we can to reach Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and do what we can to get the gospel into other places around the world. And I say tonight, the Faith Baptist Church, listen, there's no better way to enlarge the place of your tent than by expanding your missions program. Faith Baptist Church, enlarge the place of your tent. You can do more to get the gospel around the world. You can do more to see souls saved in places like Fiji and other places that you're going to see represented this month. And all of those missionaries in the hallways there. What a testimony. And so, enlarge the place of your tent. The second thing I want you to notice, also in verse 2, you might want to underline this or circle it. Lengthen thy cords. Now you go down, of course it says, let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations, spare not. But I want you to go to the phrase, lengthen thy cords. Now if you know anything about tents, you know that the cords stretch out the main body of the tent. And tonight, we need to lengthen the cords. Make your cords long. Stretch your cords. This means that the church is supposed to expand itself by reaching out as far as it can. And listen, you folks can't go to Fiji. Now, you may be able to visit there, but you can't go to Fiji unless God were to call you. You can't go to all these places around the world. I can't either. You can't go to Africa and Asia and Europe and Australia and Canada and South America and Central America and all these places. but you can help send somebody. Lengthen thy cords. Lengthen thy cords in all of these places, to Canada, Mexico, the Caribbean, Central America, South America, Europe, Africa, the Middle East, Asia, and to the islands of the world. Faith Baptist Church can't reach all these places, but you can send missionaries to these places. By the way, every missionary that you support is an extension of this church. Did you know that? I mean, you talk about lengthening the cords. Every missionary you support, your cords are being lengthened even more. And every one of those missionaries represent Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais. Every missionary you support is an extension. Every soul that is won to Christ by missionaries that you support are souls that Faith Baptist Church wins. We need to understand the importance of our mission dollars. Don't take it for granted when you put those mission dollars in that envelope or in the offering plate. Well, here's a few dollars. You have no idea what God's going to do with those dollars. Lengthen thy cords. When I was a missionary, I represented every single church that supported me. That's how I looked at it. Every soul that we won to Christ in Argentina was made possible by the churches that supported me. But thank God we were able to win many souls to Christ in the years we were there. I'll never forget when Pastor Angel came. They had Pastor and Mrs. Angel came down in 1998. I think it was our 10th year anniversary of our church down there. What a blessing they were. We had a huge conference and it was the anniversary of our church as well on a Sunday. And what a blessing your preacher was to us. He saw it firsthand. He saw what God was doing there. We were eating at a Wendy's, I think. Wasn't it, Judy? And poor Mrs. Angel, she, when you go to these foreign countries, man, you got to keep your eyeball on all your stuff. And, well, even here, but especially there. And they had a salad bar, so we all got up to get some salad. And she left her purse in the booth. We all came back. It was gone. All their credit cards was in that purse. And I felt so sorry for them. They had to go. We had to take them to the police station. And they had to call the credit card companies and everything. And found out, I think it was within a two-hour period, I think something like $5,000 was charged. But thank God, long story made short, they didn't have to pay a penny. Amen? But it was kind of a trial. Mrs. Angel, she was like ready to go home. So I wanted to go home. Thank God it didn't happen the first day. But anyway, they were such a blessing. And to think that this church had a part in what God did for us there in Argentina. Lengthen thy cords. Lengthen thy cords. Remember, every missionary you support is an extension of you. Every soul is to your account. Several years ago, I was on deputation. And Brother Leonard, I was in Georgia. And I went with a preacher. A preacher took me to a pastor's fellowship, like a preacher's fellowship. And there was a bunch of preachers, probably about 50 or 70 preachers. And the moderator, Brother Mick, gets up behind the podium, the pulpit, and he says, "All right now," he says, "fellas, let's hear some testimonies about how many souls were won yesterday through your churches." And Brother so-and-so, and he raised his hand and said, we saw 20 people saved yesterday through our church. Amen. And another one raised his hand. "Oh, Brother so-and-so," he said, "we saw 10 people saved." Another one, "We saw 70 people saved." And there's testimony after testimony. And there's this one preacher just sitting there, kind of not saying a word. And the moderator says to him, he was his friend, he says, "Brother so-and-so," he says, what about your church? How many souls were saved through your church yesterday? And the man stood up and said, "I'm not sure, brother. Haven't got the report of all of our missionaries yet." That's a way to look at it, amen? Because every soul they win is to your account, to your church's account, to Faith Baptist Church. What a blessing. lengthen thy cords. And then number three, look at verse 2 again. I want you to see the phrase, strengthen thy stakes. Strengthen thy stakes. How many of you like to go camping? Nobody. Okay. All right. Now, there are some hands. And, you know, a tent, I'm not an expert, but I do know this. A tent cannot expand or even stay up if the stakes are not strong. If they're not in the ground, deep, what's going to happen? You're going to get a storm, some wind, whatever. The whole thing just comes from. How many of you ever had that happen to you? Your tent just collapsed because your stakes all came up, you know? And here we see the phrase, strengthen thy stakes. I want to say that this refers to the strengthening of the home church. Missionaries need strong supporting churches. You know, one of my biggest concerns when I was a missionary was the condition of my sending church and my other supporting churches. I knew that if my sending church or my supporting churches were not strong, if they became weak, if they went through financial difficulty, if God stopped blessing them, or if they even closed their doors, it would affect me as a missionary. I was very blessed to have Faith Baptist Church as my sending church all those years. I was blessed to have some 80 churches that were strong and that supported us. I think in my 16 and a half years as a missionary, only about 5 churches dropped us. And I believe every one of those was because they closed their doors. But God blessed. Our sending church here, Faith Baptist, remains strong. Amen. Although it looked pretty bad for a short while. Did you know the night of my commissioning, there's a few, just a few that are still here that remember the night of my commissioning in the old auditorium. When hands were laid on me, and the next day we were getting on the plane to go to Argentina, South America. But that was our commissioning service. And I remember after the service, in the old gym, there was a big fellowship. We had a big fellowship. They did that for us, and they had a cake and some, you know, some sandwiches and so forth. And then they presented us with a really nice love offering and to take with us to Argentina. It was such a blessing. But the night before, in a deacon's meeting, the pastor gave his resignation. Some of you remember that. And you talk about, you know, being a little nervous. I mean, here I am. I finished deputation. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get on a plane tomorrow and go to Argentina. And I need my sending church to be strong. And now the pastor is resigning. I had at least 3 men come up to me during that fellowship and ask me, would I consider staying, taking the church? And of course, I said, no, God wants us in Argentina. But it was pretty shaky. Now, thank God the church held together. A year later, God sent Dr. Terry Angel. And this church has remained strong. Church has remained a wonderful sending church and a wonderful supporting church as well. Faith Baptist Church, you are a sending church to several missionaries that have gone out of this church. You know who they are. At least you better know who they are. You better know the missionaries that came out of this church. Amen. You're their sending church. And then, of course, there are many missionaries that you support and so forth. And they're depending on you to stay as strong as you can. Strengthen thy stakes. Strengthen thy stakes. Keep your stakes strong. You know, Grace Baptist Church of Lockport, the church I pastor, by the way, next week it'll be 5 years. Our church needs to stay strong for the over 50 missionaries that we support. Sometimes I'll walk in the fellowship hall. We have a little fellowship hall, and we've got missionaries, you know, letters and pictures on the walls and so forth. And I'll walk that fellowship hall, And I'll pray. I'll say, Lord God, you've got to help us. You've got to help us to stay strong. Lord, you've got to help us to keep giving. These missionaries depend on us. Lord, help us. Help us to strengthen our stakes. If the stakes are not secure, doesn't matter how long your cords are, the tent will fall. Doesn't matter how many missionaries you support or send out. If the stakes are not tightened, missions in that church will fail. Faith Baptist Church, make sure your stakes are strong. Keep your church strong. Stay together. Keep unity. Listen, keep winning souls. Keep discipling new converts. Keep giving the Faith Promise missions. Keep teaching Sunday school. Keep running the buses. Keep preaching. Keep edifying believers. Keep starting new ministries. Stay strong, Faith Baptist Church. Strengthen the stakes. Then I want you to look at one more thing. It's found in verse 2 as well. It's right in the middle of the verse. Somewhat in the middle. Two words. Spare not. Spare not. We need to enlarge the place of the tent, lengthen the cords, strengthen the stakes, and spare not. Now, what does spare not mean? It simply means don't hold back. Don't hold back. First of all, don't hold back your prayers. Your prayers will keep your church strong, your preacher strong, the staff strong. Don't hold back your prayers. Your prayers will keep missionaries on the field. Did you know your prayers, I don't care how old you are, you could be a child, teenager, could keep a missionary on the field. 1994, we'd been in Argentina for about 5 years. And it was the most discouraging time of my missionary career. I didn't tell my wife this, but I contemplated, I really thought about throwing in the towel. It was just that the devil was fighting from every side. And I was very discouraged. In fact, I thought, well, we were about ready to go on furlough, our first furlough. And I thought, you know, we're probably going to go back to the States and not come back. I don't think I can keep going. And I was discouraged. And this was in November of 1994. Well, we came back to the States. We were here. I think this was one of the first churches. It was our sending church, but I think we were here maybe 2 weeks after we'd left there. And there was a lady in the church that came up to me. And she said, Brother Harrison, she said, were you going through a hard time in November, last November? And I said, yeah, how'd you know? She said, I don't know why, but God pressed on my heart to pray for you that month every single day. And you know what? I believe that because of her prayers and the prayers of others, but maybe because of her prayers, we decided to go back to Argentina. And you know what? We served for many more years and saw God do great things and souls saved. Listen, don't hold back your prayers. Your prayers could keep a missionary on the field. Your prayers can encourage a missionary. Like I said before, pray over your Faith Promise card. Pray sincerely. Lord, what do you want me to do with this card, with this commitment? Don't hold back on your prayers. Spare not. Second of all, don't hold back your giving. Don't hold back your giving. Keep giving your tithes. Keep giving your Faith Promise. I know your preacher is one of the best teachers in America on Faith Promise giving. He wrote a book. But what is Faith Promise giving? It is giving to missions what God lays on your heart above your tithe. It's that simple. It's giving an offering specifically to missions above your tithe. And listen, don't hold back. Amen? Don't hold back. I don't know what God wants you to give above your tithe. I don't know what He wants you to give to missions. But listen, you need to pray and you need to commit and you need to say, Lord, show me. Lord, teach me. Lord, guide me. Don't hold back on your giving. Souls depend on it. Missionaries depend on it. By the way, God blesses faith promise giving. There's a few of you that were here in 1982. My wife and I came as assistant pastor. This church couldn't afford us. This church, I'm going to be honest with you, 1982, those that are still here, we were in big trouble financially. We were going under. I mean, bond program, thousands of dollars in debt. I mean, utility companies, want to turn everything off. It was rough. And we came, and you know, the pastor said, I'll do what I can. We want you here. And we were happy. We would have come for free. We just about did. Our paycheck, both of us. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but my wife taught in the school, and I was full-time, and $157 a week was our check. And we were thrilled to death. We were thrilled. We were hurting. The church was hurting. But you know what happened? This church got a heart for missions. I believe God used Dr. Don Sisk to come, and he started the first missions conference this church ever had. First missions conference I ever went to, 1982, here in this church. And then every year, missions conference after missions conference, we began to support missionaries. You know, you ask, how? The church is going under. We're thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. And then we're taking these missionaries on. You know, faith promise. And every year, more missionaries and more missionaries. And before you know it, we're out of debt, bless God. We built that little auditorium over here. And God blessed. And I was making more than $157 a week. Amen. What am I saying? I believe that God blesses faith promise giving. I took Grace Baptist Church in Lockport in 2013. I didn't know it, but the previous pastor actually taught the congregation against faith promise. He actually was against faith promise giving. Go figure. And so I had that against me. They never had a missions conference. Just supporting a few missionaries. All out of the budget. And I'm not going to get into details, but soon after I got there, just a few short weeks, lid blew off that thing. There were some scandals involved with the previous administration and so forth. And in a matter of 3 months, we lost 100 people. And I got there probably about 220 and down to about 110. Many of those were givers. All these missionaries out of the budget. What are we going to do? I wanted to start Faith Promise. I wanted to get people excited about mission. I told the people, I said, listen, if we're ever going to add another missionary, we've got to start giving beyond our tithe to missions. And so in 2013, we had our first missions conference. First one. Had, I think, 3 or 4 missionaries come. I taught on Faith Promise and then, of course, the speaker and the missionaries. And let me tell you something. Our people got a hold of faith promise giving. They got excited for faith promise giving. And in the last 3 to 4 years, we have taken on over 30 missionary families for $100 a month. Why? Because a people got excited about faith promise giving. And you know what? I used to hear this all the time, and I believed it, but yet I never experienced it, that your budget, your general fund goes up whenever people give faith promise. You know what happened? Ours did. God blesses faith promise giving. He blesses a church that will not hold back. Spare not Faith Baptist Church. Spare not. And then don't hold back on going. I believe there's a young person in this room tonight. A teenager in this room. Maybe an adult in this room. God is calling you to go to the mission field. Don't hold back. Spare not. Don't fight it. Listen, if it's God's will, then go. Amen? Go. I fought it for a little while, to be honest with you. But I'll tell you what, when He makes it clear, go. Go. Spare not. Don't hold back on going. You know it's not God's will for everybody to be a missionary. But if you know that's what He wants you to do, spare not. Go. Go. Win souls for Jesus Christ where you're at. Amen? Don't hold back. Don't put off witnessing to that person that God has laid on your heart. How about that person you've been wanting to witness to now for quite a while and you've never got around to it? Is there anybody like that? At work, at school, in the neighborhood, wherever? I have a 15-year-old nephew named Blake. And he has brain cancer. And I don't think he's going to last too much longer. Only God knows that. And for a couple years, the Holy Spirit was pressing on me. You need to go and witness to your nephew and make sure that he's saved. And you know, I said, yes, Lord, I need to do that. But I kept putting it off. I kept putting it off. And finally, my wife and I drove down. He lives in Brook, Indiana. My wife and I drove down there and we sat down with him. First, we played a few games with him, and you know, board games and had a little fun with him. And then we sat down and I got the Bible out. And I showed Blake how he could trust Christ and go to heaven when he dies. And right there at the table, he bowed his head and asked Jesus to save him. And I hear now that he's reading his Bible. In fact, he likes to listen to it on CD and so forth. And I believe that that young man's going to heaven. But what if I would have kept holding back? Spare not. Don't hold back on your witnessing. Don't hold back on your going. And maybe God has called you to go to the mission field. Maybe God wants you to work a bus route you've been holding back. Maybe God wants you to teach a Sunday school class you've been holding back. Maybe God wants you to be involved in some ministry and you're holding back. Don't hold back. Spare not. Faith Baptist Church, spare not. Spare not. You see, I believe if we hold back on God, He'll hold back on us. I know about you, I don't want God to hold back on me. God wants to bless you. He has blessed me more than I could ever deserve. I don't want God to hold back. In conclusion, Faith Baptist Church, enlarge the tent. This is a great mission church. It really is. It's amazing what God has done over the years. But enlarge the tent. Lengthen the cords. Stretch them out even more. Strengthen the stakes. Stay strong and spare not. Don't hold back. Because the souls of men are depending on you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How about it? Like I said, we saw a historical context, but you know what? There's no reason we can't apply that to us in a spiritual application. We too need to follow these principles. How about it, child of God? How about it tonight? Huh? Are you holding back? Are you holding back? God wants you to do something, you're holding back. God wants you to be involved in something, you're holding back. He wants you to be a witness, holding back. Maybe He wants you to go to the mission field. Maybe you're holding back on your giving, your praying. You're holding back. Church. Church. Stretch out your cords. Lengthen the place of your tent. Spare not. Heads bowed and eyes closed if you're here tonight. you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. We don't want a service to go by where the invitation is not given for someone to come and trust Christ. If you're here tonight and you need Jesus as your Savior, don't hold back on Him anymore. Stop resisting. Stop putting it off, procrastinating. The Lord loves you. He wants to save you. You might not have tomorrow. You might not have next week. If you need to be saved, you come. Brother Mick is up front. He'll make sure that someone in private takes their Bible and shows you how to be saved. If you're here tonight, child of God, every single child of God, every single Christian in this room, in this church, needs to take this message and apply it, and you need to pray. What can I do? Lord, what do you want me to do for missions this year and this coming year? Show me, Lord. Teach me. Guide me. Make it clear to me. And then don't hold back. Don't hold back. Some need to come and just pray that. Some need to come and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do with faith promise. Maybe you need to. Maybe you've never participated, never given to it. You can start. Everybody needs to start. I started in 1982. Maybe you need. You're already giving, but you can do more. You know, I think every year the Lord always tells me to give more. Every year He tells me to give a little bit more. So I add a little bit more. Don't hold back. Heavenly Father, bless the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand as the music plays. God spoke to your heart. You come use this old-fashioned altar. Spare not, Christian. Spare not, child of God. Spare not, Faith Baptist Church. Souls are depending on you. Missionaries are depending on you. Places like Fiji and Argentina, Mexico, Europe, Asia, and all over the world, depending on you. Obviously, one single person can't do it all. But we can do what God tells us and touches our heart to do. Do what we can. Spare not. Spare not. Large the place of thy tent, Faith Baptist. Lengthen the cords. Strengthen those stakes. Spare not.